Well, it's good to be able to come together again and worship the Lord. Hey, kids, what do you think of all this beautiful weather that we've been having? Yesterday, I took my granddaughter and we went out to Fish Creek Park and went for a long bike ride and a little bit of ice cream at Annie's. It's a wonderful way to spend some time together. But each week, I kind of wonder how you kids are doing. What's going on in your life? It's kind of weird, isn't it, to do your schoolwork at home? Of course, some of you aren't even in school yet, and some of you have been homeschooled, so it's not that different for you. But when I've called and talked to your parents, I've heard such great things about each one of you kids. They tell me that you're learning so many good things, and you're practicing what it means to be somebody who loves Jesus. Well, today we're going to be learning about how God gives us strength. The way that God gives us the power that we need to live that way that is good for God. I'm praying for each of you and that you will learn how to love Jesus with all of your heart. Well, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 21, we're going to read a prayer that Paul prayed for his Ephesian friends. And I love the way that he starts it out. Listen. Chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. He kneels. He gets down in prayer. From whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. If you listen to the scripture at all, you heard that Paul's prayer is a prayer for power. Now, you know that we live in a world that's obsessed with power. One of the phrases that I hear frequently is that people were involved in a power struggle. Nations are involved today in power struggles. The one who wields the most power wins the power struggle. Unfortunately, I've heard that phrase within the church. There was a power struggle between the pastor and the church board. There was a power struggle between two staff members. There was a power struggle between the finance committee and the Sunday school. There are power struggles on the playground. There's power in the city council. Everyone wants to have that upper hand because they know that with power, they're able to get the things done that they want to get done. People get accused of being power hungry. The sad thing, I think, is that through all of these scenarios that I have been speaking about, power ends up getting a bad reputation. Very few people think of power in a positive way. If you say something about power to someone, they'll immediately react in some of the ways I've talked about. For most people, they believe that the power corrupts. And there's no doubt that power has corrupted a lot of people. No one's immune from the corrupting power of power. Stalin and Hitler, Charles Manson, and a whole host of others have done some terrible things in the name of power. Corrupting power has destroyed pastors and destroyed churches, and that same corrupting power has ruined young believers that have become victims of such power. But on the other side, has anything ever been accomplished without power? Powerlessness is ineffectiveness. Strip away the power and nothing can be done. Paul knew that. He knew that power mattered. There are two things that matter when it comes to power. The first is the character of the person who has the power, And the second thing is the kind of power they have. So many people have had their character ruined by the power of power. Other people have gotten the wrong kind of power, the kind of power that's used to destroy or to manipulate or to bully. Paul prays that the Ephesians would receive the power of character, that they would be strengthened in the inner being. And Paul prays that they would receive the kind of power that does not destroy, but builds up, that matures. It's a spiritual power. He did not pray that they would receive a political power or a military power or an economic power. He prayed that they would receive the power of the Holy Spirit, the source of spiritual power. As followers of Jesus, we already have the power of the Holy Spirit within. God is not divided. He is three in one: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So when we receive Christ in our hearts, we don't get two-thirds of God. We don't get just God the Father and God the Son, and then at a later date get the Holy Spirit. All of God in His glory dwells within us. Did you hear that word in verse 17? So that the Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Dwell. It means to take up residence, to make himself at home. My wife, Lori, loves it when people come to stay in our home and stay overnight or a few days with us. And she loves it, especially when they make themselves at home. What does that mean? Well, it means that they can get up and go get something from the fridge to eat or to drink on their own without asking. To dwell means that he has the freedom to come and to be himself in you. He can be free to be all that he is. It has to do with how you give him freedom. In our language, you can go to the fridge on your own. We live in a day when we need the power of the Holy Spirit to live with freedom inside of us. We want to live our lives on our own terms. We prefer to be in control of our lives. We want to manage everything so that it works the way we want it to. That word control, oh, what an attractive word. In this current pandemic situation, we are not nearly in as much control as we would like to be, maybe even as much as we thought we were. We're a little afraid of what it would be like to give God control. God has proven to be a little bit unpredictable. God does not always just walk the path that I have mapped out for him to walk. The Holy Spirit is not easily boxed in or stuffed in a box. The Holy Spirit not only gives us freedom, but the Holy Spirit practices freedom. The Holy Spirit is unsettling, disturbing, sometimes a little outrageous. We want a predictable, quiet, in control kind of Holy Spirit. We'd like a nice, tidy, neat, and orderly church. You know, a place with a nice carpet, a well-oiled worship service with a smooth children's program, with great coffee. And I've discovered in our church that there's a whole host of opinions about what coffee ought to be served to be the right kind of coffee. We want a trimmed lawn. We want a dynamic music. We want all these things, these expectations to be met. And we try hard, really hard, to do all this. But if you've been alive long enough, you'll know that life is not nearly that neat or that tidy. Sometimes I think we want our churches that way to be as a kind of oasis, as a defense against the realities, the uncertainties, the challenges of life. And it's somebody else's responsibility to make sure that it happens just that way for me. But life is never neat and tidy. Mike Iaconelli once wrote a book called Messy Spirituality, God's Annoying Love for Imperfect People. Kind of captures the truth, doesn't it? Annie Dillard once wrote, The churches are children playing on the floor with their chemistry sets, mixing up a batch of TNT to kill a Sunday morning. There's a messiness to life that we would prefer to stuff in the hall closet when company is coming over. We don't want to have people see the mess behind the smile. But the church is never supposed to be a plastic experience of a pretend world. The church is to be the place where the Holy Spirit empowers us to live in His freedom in the middle of the mess. When we think about power, we feel the strength that comes to us from power. But why do we need power? Is it just so we can control our lives? We need power because we feel broken, uncertain, weak. We feel weak. Often those who seek power are compensating for their own sense of weakness. I was not ready for weakness. I was not ready for the brokenness that comes from ministry. No one told me about the overwhelming sense and experience of loss. The books promised me that if I followed their foolproof ministry systems, that I would then know ministry success. But I quickly discovered it wasn't foolproof for this fool. Loss, sorrow, grief became the surprise of ministry, the place where weakness was regularly encountered. When you begin ministry, you push hard. You work all day in the preparation of sermons and teaching sessions, do counseling, administration, practice leadership, and then you go home and lead a small group, go to a meeting, connect with new people in the evening, and you do your best to move the church forward. And along the way, you accumulate losses, the large losses. Someone passes away. The almost imperceptible losses, a little piece of your dream dies. A loss of feeling just a little bit more disconnected from your wife, from your family, while you pursue this ministry. In the early years, the losses were fewer. The church was young. I was excited, working hard. Have you ever noticed how distracted you are from what's really happening around you when you are concentrating on working hard? But then the congregation grows and it grows older. Some of the reliable saints that have seen you through pass away. People like John Kish, Ivan Johansson, John Gamble, Joy Tweed, Bob and Ruth Wick. I wish I could say each person's name today. Tragedy comes and takes away some of your own contemporaries, friends that are way too young. Al Welkie, Florian Green, Lysander Cross. There was Grace Hebe. I weep because these are people I love. Mabel Rempold and Walt Matthews and baby Ava and Larry Brewster and Doug Turner. Again, I wish I could name them all. Sometimes it strikes so deep in just one family, all three Sternberg men. Some were community friends, some loosely connected to our church, some of our own close personal family. I've walked with some of you in the hospital as you've had to make the hard decision around death. And I'm given the incredible honor of walking through those seasons of loss and heartache. You've trusted me with those intensely emotional and trying times. And the whole church felt those losses. It's not easy to process a loss as a whole group. Collectively, we know about the loss, but what are we to do? I forgot that I was grieving as well. For 36 years, I've walked the road of being the presence of Christ to the broken and the hurting, and yet sometimes, or at least in the early part, was inattentive to my own sense of loss. I had neglected to deal with my own grief. I saw that my soul was carrying loss that was beyond my own capacity to carry. More losses piled on. You know, there are degrees of loss. There are types of loss. People that we had invested in and thought we were friends said enough and moved to another church. Things I had intended to do, but they now lay undone. Dreams I had hoped to see come pass no longer were possible. You know, disappointment becomes a complex loss. Loss in many forms. Maybe it's just time to walk away. Well, you know that life is messy and complicated, and you don't get to quit. Quitting doesn't fix the loss. I can't manage all the loss. I can't heal the brokenness. I can't touch the despondency. And I try to pretend that I'm not disappointed, but I am. Hurt nestles deep in the corners of the heart, and loss nibbles away at your hope. But Paul reminds us that we do not grieve as those who have no hope. We grieve, but our sorrow is not hopelessness. Jesus said, "For my power is made perfect in weakness." It is in the weakness that we find a power that is not our own. It is the power of the Holy Spirit, and He is set free in us. It's an ebb and flow. Isn't the seasons of Bonavista, we have known times of great and glorious celebration and excitement. And we've also walked through the valley of deep waters of sorrow and loss. Loss can take the wind out of your sails, but when we find a fresh wind of the Spirit blowing through, oh, refreshment, restoration, renewal. I wish that I could pray for you today that you would never know those trials again. But that's simply not how life works. Instead, Lori and I pray that in the most difficult moments, you will give freedom to the Holy Spirit to do His healing and His restorative work among you. Paul prays that the Holy Spirit would give them power in their inner being. What is Paul driving at? To receive power in your inner being. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18 use the same language. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. When you're young, there's this sense of immortality. You can jump off of high cliffs and not get injured. But as you get older, you discover that getting older means another kind of loss. There are restrictions that come on your body as you age. By the time you're even 30, you can do less than you did when you were 20. When you're 40, your aches arrive in your joints and you can't get into shape as fast as you once did. By the time you're 60, you feel the limitations of flexibility and your energy depletes more rapidly. Arthritis joins you. The outward self is wasting away. It's a loss. But inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. Some of our seniors, saints' eyes are bright with what the Spirit is doing to their inner being as their outer being wastes away. Their faith has increased exponentially. You see, every age can know the power of the Spirit in their inner being, shaping and molding and developing their character, faith, their life. Bonavista Church has moved into middle age. Some churches just let the years catch up to them and they slow down and they lose their sense of purpose and direction and they just drift. Some people do the same. But this does not have to be inevitable. The church, you see, is not a human body. It's the body of Christ. The church is filled with the dynamic of the power of the Holy Spirit, who by His Spirit renews us, renews His church day by day. I have seen the power of the Holy Spirit at work in Bonavista Church. This morning, I'm thinking about the people who have experienced the healing power of God's grace in their lives. I know people in our congregation who have experienced physical healing for their bodies as the elders gathered around them in prayer. I have seen hearts that have been broken by incredible abuse and pain be restored. I wish I could tell you their stories. Let's suffice it to say that I have seen some who were wounded by a kind of evil that defies explanation. And yet God in His mercy has healed them and restored them to life again. I have seen the Holy Spirit set people free from their bondage to alcohol and drugs. I have seen marriages that were shattered by infidelity be restored by the power of the Holy Spirit. I have seen destructive memories erased and necessary memories restored. I have seen people plead with Almighty God to touch them, and they still did not receive what they had asked for. But I have seen God do a work in people's lives that they did not ask for and did not expect and perhaps didn't even want, but God knew what they needed more than they knew. I have been surprised by the Spirit's revelation. Lori and I have often worked with people, and the Spirit has revealed, as we have prayed over them in a time of healing, a word to Lori that has been life-changing, and she shared it with them, life-altering. Sometimes it was a word that was hard. It was a word that would say, God is not going to do what you have asked Him to do. What He instead is asking of you is for you to wait on Him. That's just as hard to hear as it is hard to say. I can recall times in our worship when the Spirit of God has weighed heavy on us as a congregation. Do you remember times when we found ourselves kneeling inside each one of our chairs, the whole congregation? Do you remember times when we've been singing and, oh, we knew the presence of God was among us? Remember when Suzanne would come and quote Scripture and we knew that the Word of God was with us? Do you remember times when the Spirit prompted David Peden to encourage us with a word from the Lord? Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to His power that is at work within us. I long for Bona Vista to know an ever-increasing outpouring of the Holy Spirit's power among us. Sometimes we're a little afraid of what the Holy Spirit might do. I hope it's just a little bit of that fear of the Lord that we're called to feel, to fall on our knees in awe and reverence because of the power of the Spirit is at work. Lori and I will be so excited to hear that you continue to learn ever-growing ways to be open to the Holy Spirit and His power. The old world that we're living, it's shattered. We simply do not have the power we need apart from the Holy Spirit to do anything about it. We want to see hundreds of people come to know the healing and reconciling work of the Holy Spirit, to become followers of Jesus Christ because of the faithfulness of Bona Vista Church. Our desire is to see hearts continue to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, to see the spirit of worship so consume your hearts that you know it's the power of the Spirit. We want you to experience the new freedom in the Spirit that glorifies His wonderful name, that takes the good news to every hungry heart, that listens and hears and follows the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so, this is our prayer for you. We pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That the Holy Spirit would find a new freedom in your hearts, that Bona Vista Church would clearly evidence the power of the Spirit. We pray that the unpredictable, immeasurable, uncontrollable power of the Spirit would not be hindered, but would be invited in an ever-increasing way. A new era is coming. And it is our heart's desire that Bona Vista Church will be found again on its knees, seeking His face, experiencing His power, and that you would grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. To Him be glory in the church. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Wherever you are this morning, I hope that you will not only receive that prayer, but you would pray that prayer. And wherever you are this morning, why don't you stand with me and allow me to give you the benediction? Let's stand and receive it that way. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance toward you and give you His peace. Amen.